Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is symbolic. This is very symbolic. I don't know if you guys saw this story yesterday. It was out of Washington, D.C. This was from thehill.com about 10 hours ago, here. The National Christmas Tree, this was when they reported it, by the way. It must have happened the night before. The National Christmas Tree was toppled over by heavy winds on Washington, D.C.'s chilliest day since last winter. So very chilly day, very, very, very chilly day in Washington, D.C., which does not fit the pattern with the global warming agenda. But either way, it was a very chilly day, and apparently winds have knocked over the National Christmas Tree. Let's see if there's more info on this Hill.com story here. The massive tree, which is traditionally located on the ellipse in the President's Park, was on its side on a dark and cold Tuesday evening. A little more details on the tree here. Where'd they get the tree from? The 40-foot Norway spruce arrived in Washington earlier this month from the Monongahela National Forest in West Virginia, according to WTOP Radio in Washington, D.C. Apparently, the lighting of the National Christmas Tree is over a 100-year tradition. But anyway, ChaosMT via Twitter, great Twitter account to follow here in Montana, especially if you like following Montana politics and news. Anyway, he made a great point. I mean, just talking about the symbolism of this National Christmas Tree being toppled and blown over on its side. In Joe Biden's America, Christmas is officially canceled. How is the President of the United States going to secure the border if he can't even secure a 40-foot Norway spruce? The epitome of ineptitude. That was from Chaos MT. That's Chaos with a K. At Chaos MT via Twitter or X.com as it's referred to right now. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of a good point there, right? I know Donald Trump made securing the border look easy, but securing the border is not easy. It's not an easy task. Just talk with our Border Patrol agents, the men and women out there putting their risking their lives every day to secure our border. Donald Trump may have made securing the border look easy, but it is not an easy task. But you would think securing a 40-foot Norway spruce in Washington, D.C., given all of the folks that they've got on the government dime in Washington, D.C., that would be a much easier task, right? Nope, they can't even secure that thing, but they have no desire to secure our southern border. Boy, what a train wreck. In fact, speaking of our southern border, I know we've got a lot of news on that front once we clear through our stack of stuff here. Get to some of our audio highlights this morning for you on the show. Some crazy news once again developing on our southern border. We'll get to that here right after the news break. Lots to talk about this morning. You know, we had such a great program yesterday, but we walled off the whole morning. We didn't even really talk much news and politics. We just had great guests on all morning long for Giving Tuesday. Well, let's call it Wide Open Wednesday. We're taking your phone calls and more. 406-294-0970. Back after this.
Securing America.
Late Sunday, it appeared that the USS Mason, a destroyer ship which is part of the Eisenhower Carrier Strike Group, was fired at by Houthi forces in Yemen after assisting a ship that was under a hijacking. Tuesday afternoon, Pentagon Press Secretary General Patrick Ryder made this surprising declaration about the reported attack, saying that a missile was fired, but
we also at this point assess that the vessels, the Mason and the Central Park, were not the intended targets.
Ryder would not speculate on what the target was as the missiles landed about 10 miles from the ships, but reiterated that the Defense Department will not hesitate to act against any entity threatening U.S. personnel on land, sea, or in the air.
I'm not going to telegraph or forecast or speculate on any potential strikes that we might take in the region, other than to say we will do what's necessary to protect our forces.
Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll stay with sunny skies across the area for today. High temperatures will range from around 40 degrees in Bozeman to the upper 40s in Billings. for tonight. Clear to partly cloudy skies, upper teens to around 20. And the outlook for Thursday calls for a mix of clouds and sun with high temperatures in the mid-30s. Thursday night, partly cloudy skies, upper teens to low 20s. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I mentioned we'd get right to the southern border news right after that first break there, and I've got a lot to share with you. But hey, if we're going to be sharing southern border news, why don't we start with a phone call? And, of course, a great phone call from Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, good morning, and thanks for calling in this morning.
Yeah, well, it's distressful, distressing news, terrible. I sent you an email. You may not have gotten it, but 9,200 illegal encounters over the last 24 hours in Texas and also in the city of Tucson, Arizona. And we talked about a caravan coming from Central America a couple weeks ago. I believe this is a caravan that is now arriving. And also, Americans, I want to say that we are getting, receiving unwanted Christmas gifts, and there is postage due. And I am so pissed off over this. You don't know how mad I really am right now. But that's what's happening. And our Homeland Security Mayorkas, he's on his way to the southern border. I mean, what is he going to do? Is he going to just open it wider so more can come in?
Well, yeah, that's pretty much all they've done at this point. I saw a story here recently. In fact, I've got a press release in front of me. But I got a note. I got a note right before Thanksgiving from one of the Flathead County commissioners. And he said, hey, he says, you know, I know that these sky marshal things aren't really in my authority as a county commissioner. But this is really important stuff here. They have diverted the flight pattern for air marshals, and instead they have sent them south to our southern border, but they're not using the air marshals to secure our southern border. No, they're using the air marshals to do paperwork to basically get more illegals into this country. So they're not protecting the skies. They're not protecting the southern border. Instead, they're making them do paperwork to process illegal aliens into this country. It just shows you another way that the Biden administration and John Tester are putting our country at risk here.
Oh, for sure. I'm telling you, I don't know what's going to happen here. We've got another year before the election in 2024 presidential election. And I'm telling you, Aaron, this has been such a topsy-turvy, such a screwed up, unpredictable year. And I am really intimidated by going into 2024. I really, as an American, do not know what to expect. But I know that we're going to have to shut down that border. I know Mitch McConnell has been after him. He doesn't want to pass any more spending bills until the border is shut down. It's like a bunch of kids fighting in a candy store. I never seen anything like it in my life. We have so many immature elected officials in Washington, D.C., and I am just so sick of them all.
No, that's right. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, the hopeful news, or at least the way to look at things on the bright side, is thankfully we live here in Montana. I was at an event last night talking with, you know, one of our listeners about this and, you know, how crazy it is everywhere else in the country. And, yeah, it's getting crazy here in parts of Montana as well because of what's going on with the drug cartels and more. But thankfully, we live in Montana at times like this. And, you know, it's like that Erwin Lutzer book, We Will Not Be Silenced, where he talks about Revelations 9:3, strength in what remains. You know, we get to live in a state like Montana. Yeah, I feel like living in Montana right now, we are what remains of this great country. And so we've got to strengthen our local, strengthen our own backyard here in Montana, strengthen what remains. And we're so lucky that in crazy times like this, that we get to live in a place like Montana. Nancy, thanks for the phone call. I don't know if that migrant caravan that she was talking about, they're filled. It's basically a bunch of train cars filled with illegal aliens coming to our southern border. And, it looks like a scene out of, the Jewel of the Nile. Was that the movie when they were, you know, all on the big train? Crazy thousands of illegal aliens flooding to this country. And a gentleman by the name of Auden Cabello has done reporting on the southern border. And he went and asked these illegal aliens, why are you coming and why are you coming now? He was on with Laura Ingram last night. Here's part of what he had to say.
That's one of my main questions that I ask the migrants when I interview them on the Mexican side. Is like, why are you coming now? And without hesitating, the answer is that the border is open. They talk about President Biden's invitation and that they're going to be helped. That's one of the main answers that they give. And I ask them, why now? Why didn't you come before? Have you heard of President Trump? It's like, oh, yeah, we've heard of him. And he was very strict. And we weren't going to risk coming under him to get deported. And that's what we're coming out. We know that under this administration, we're going to be helped. And this morning, on my way over to Eagle Pass from Del Rio, I stopped at the NGO. And one of the migrants approached me from Venezuela, and he was complaining because the NGO kicked him out. He didn't have money to buy his bus ticket. He's like, aren't they supposed to help us? What are we going to do now in the streets without any money? Who's going to help us?
All right. Now, Stephen Miller, who was a prominent advisor to President Trump, especially when it comes to his southern border strategy, he was also on with Laura Ingraham last night, and he was basically making the point about, you know, there's no way that our country can handle the sheer number of migrants that are flooding into the country right now.
I think your audience would be shocked to know that in LA and New York now, half of public school students come from immigrant households. In cities like Charlotte, it's 40%. In Nashville, Tennessee, 100 languages are now spoken in public schools. 30% of students need help speaking English at all. Our system cannot absorb migrants in these numbers. It will crash every aspect of American society, which, of course, is the point.
All right. And we're seeing what it's doing in New York City as well. I heard a report on Fox and Friends earlier this morning in Chicago. A lot of the retail theft that's taking place in the city of Chicago right now is being driven by the migrants, the illegal aliens that have flooded into the city of Chicago. But think about it. If you're an illegal alien who broke into this country, man, you know, you didn't have to follow the laws. You didn't have to follow the process. You just break into this country illegally. Why wouldn't you think it's okay to go take anything else you want at the same time, too? This country has no laws. This country has no rules. You can grab whatever you want of anybody else's stuff. That's the message that's being sent.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordlund, and the fall agriculture convention season continues here this week. Russell Nimitz and I and a handful of the Western Ag Network crew are finding us in north central Montana in Great Falls, attending the 68th Montana Grain Growers Convention and Trade Show. And our coverage is brought to you by Torgerson's Equipment, where the Case IH Axial Flow Combines will simplify harvesting even with an inexperienced operator. Stop by Torgerson's Equipment today for more. Well, for the second year, the P&W Canola Association and Northern Pulse Growers Association are in partnership with the Montana Grain Growers and hosting this year's event. Clayton Lohr is a young farmer from Shelby who serves on the Montana Grain Growers Board. And he told Russell Nimitz and I during a live fireside chat, which you can find streaming on our Western Ag Network social media pages, that including canola and pulse crops into the convention just makes sense.
At the start of this, you mentioned profitability. And so I have tried just about everything. Being able to collaborate with these organizations, I have grown pulses in the past. I am the typical young progressive farmer here. A couple years ago, I intercropped chickpeas with Roundup Ready Kochia. So that was a cool experiment. But it's just with some of these new markets coming up, you know, we've learned a lot about renewable diesel stuff with the canola, like Karen had mentioned. There's just going to be a lot of opportunity, and it's good to keep an open mind. I mean, I still love wheat. Eat more gluten, always, but it's cool to be able to work with these other organizations.
Now, if you would like to watch the entire fireside chat that Russell Nimitz and I hosted from the Montana Grain Growers Convention, where we discuss every issue impacting the wheat, barley, canola, and pulse crop industry, visit our Western Ag Network social media pages or visit westernagnetwork.com.
Ranchers Interland Angus of Big Timber, Montana is holistically managed and operated, and their regenerative grazing genetics will help turn your grass into pounds, beef, and money. Monday, December 4th is their annual sale featuring 77 18-month-old bulls, 80% heifer bulls, 10 registered bred heifers, 95 registered bred cows, and 3 potloads of commercial bred heifers. Sale time is 1 o'clock. View cattle and bid online at FrontierLiveSale.com. For more information, visit InterlandRanch.com. Join the Montana Stock Growers Association for its annual convention December 6th through the 8th in Billings. Celebrating 139 years, stock grower members will come together to discuss important issues and make decisions that will determine their statewide policy. They'll host industry-leading keynote speakers like Chief Meteorologist Brian Bledsoe, NCBA CEO Colin Woodall, a producer profitability panel, and more. It's a cattle industry event you won't want to miss. For more information or to register, visit mtbeef.org.
A coalition of Western U.S. senators, including John Brasso and Cynthia Lummis of Wyoming and Mike Lee of Utah, have introduced the Helping Open Underutilized Space to Ensure Shelter Houses Act, which seeks to alleviate housing constraints experienced across the West. The legislation would enable state and local governments to utilize select federal lands in appropriate areas to bolster local efforts to combat rising housing costs and increase housing availability stock. Senator Lummis says the Houses Act frees up some federal land to be purchased and repurposed for residential development and helps Western families fulfill and continue to live the American dream. And that's a look at our headlines. Today's program brought to you by Torgerson's Equipment for the Montana Grain Growers Convention. I'm Wayne Northland, Western Ag Network.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a lot of big stories to get to here this morning for you here with Montana Talks. And yeah, the phone lines are open for you here. A little wide open Wednesday right now, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the phone lines. Let's see, I got a great message here from Tim in Savage. Tim in Savage, he heard us talking about the story about the national Christmas tree getting toppled in a very, 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 very chilly Tuesday night in Washington, D.C. Global warming. Yeah, you got to blame climate change, right? It's always blame climate change. Don't blame the fact that nobody decided to secure the 40-foot-tall Norway spruce, I think it was. No. Don't blame that. Blame climate change. Yeah, Tim and Savage says this with obvious sarcasm attached to it. High winds are proof of global warming. That's right, Tim. We've never seen high winds before. It's only global warming that's causing high winds. Even on a chilly Tuesday evening, those winds are climate change. Thanks for that message. Let's see. Since we just heard the Farm and Ranch report there from our friends Lane and Russell from the Western Ag Network, let's get to this Farm and Ranch report from the UN, from the United Nations. I know, brace yourselves here. An agency in the United Nations designed to lead international efforts to defeat hunger is reportedly expected to call on the West to basically reduce their meat consumption. This is a piece at thedailywire.com. They are quoting a report from Bloomberg News. But yeah, there is a UN agency that is supposed to be leading efforts to defeat hunger, but instead, in the name of climate change, is going to be trying to make people go hungry and not get the nutrition that they need. Victor Davis Hanson was on with Sean Hannity last night weighing in on this very report.
You know, Victor, I'm kind of a paleo guy. I'm a keto guy. I eat meat and I eat a lot of eggs and I eat as few carbs as possible. I'm not willing to cooperate. Sorry.
I'm not either. They want red meat and dairy are one of the richest sources of protein, calcium, B vitamins, vitamin D, magnesium. They're very healthy. And we know that. We knew, during the COVID epidemic, a lot of people felt that a high-protein meat diet was essential to restore and get a robust immune system. But what's behind this is this golden idea that climate change should govern all of our lives, man-made climate change that we can address through radical utopian bromides, whether it's banning gas stoves or getting rid of the ranch suburban house and putting us in high-rise, surrendering your car so you go on mass transit. And part of that is we can't have beef anymore because they feel that cattle contribute to global warming. But there's no evidence for any of this other than a dislike of the modern American middle-class lifestyle. And that's what it's about. And believe me, the bicoastal elites that dictate from on high are never subject to the consequences of their own ideology. We saw that with the recent picture of Kamala Harris and her gas stove, and the same thing can be true of fine meats. Same thing.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. At least one crew member of a U.S. military Osprey aircraft is killed, pulled from the water after a crash off the coast of Japan.
Japan's Coast Guard reported finding wreckage from an Osprey carrying six people crashing off the southern end of Japan. It's about 2 miles from Yakushima Island, and they appear to have found also a deployed lifeboat along with the wreckage debris field.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. It's the last day of a six-day Israel-Hamas ceasefire, unless it's extended again. Secretary of State Antony Blinken heads back to Israel today.
We'll discuss with Israel how it can achieve its objective of ensuring that the terrorist attacks of October 7th never happen again, while sustaining an increasing humanitarian assistance and minimizing further suffering and casualties among Palestinian civilians.
Secretary Blinken in Brussels, Belgium, meeting with other foreign secretaries at NATO headquarters. Another 12 Hamas hostages were released last night. America's listening to Fox News.
All right. Yeah, good timing there on that Victor Davis Hanson clip. Running right into the Fox News update. I did not plan it that way. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. The timing just worked out perfectly there. All right, let's see. One more story involving our southern border and the invasion of illegal aliens into this country. And then got some devastating local news last night that we got to get to here. 100 workers from the Stillwater Mine, mostly at the mine in Nye, Montana, are going to be laid off. We just got the news that apparently the Stillwater Mine, the Sibanye Stillwater Mine, is laying off 100 people, mostly from its Nye mine. Casey Conlon from KTVQ first broke the news last night. It was crazy. I was just talking with a friend who was telling me a little bit about this devastating news that was going to be expected, and then literally 30 seconds later, Casey Conlon had the news alert. So devastating news there for so many of our friends, and I know we've got some great listeners that work at the mine and listen as they're driving to and from work. And so, Tony, we'll get you more details on that story here shortly. One more southern border story for you. Before we left for the Thanksgiving holiday, I shared this report about how the Biden administration is placing illegal aliens, they're housing illegal aliens in our national parks, on national parkland. And here's my deal. Now, we don't have any confirmation that they're putting them in Yellowstone or Glacier National Park. It's, national parklands, kind of, I think, in the Caribbean was one location I saw. But here's the deal. If land is special enough to be designated as a national park, why would you be placing illegal aliens there? Why would you be housing illegal aliens there? But anyway, apparently House Republicans now have legislation that would block migrant housing on federal lands, talking about National Park Service land, Bureau of Land Management land, Fish and Wildlife Service land, Forest Service land. So basically to stop our public lands from being trashed by illegal aliens. And the Biden administration has already come out signaling their, quote, strong opposition to it. This is a DailyWire.com story. The White House signaled its opposition on Monday to a House Republican bill designed to stymie migrant housing on federal lands. Now, the same Biden administration that's chock full of these radical environmentalists that will find any excuse under the sun to lock you out of your so-called public lands, that will shut down your access, that will shut down your trail, that will try to take away your hunting opportunities, that will try to take away your snowmobiling opportunities, that will take away your timber project, your forest health project, these same environmental wackos. No problem with illegal aliens trashing our so-called public lands. But by golly, they don't want you to ride a bicycle on some of these public lands. They don't want you to, be able to haul a game cart through some of these so-called public lands to spare your back a little bit while you pull an elk or a deer. It's because they don't care about the environment. Breaking news.
Have you been to-
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This was a story I wanted to get to yesterday, but of course we kind of walled off a lot of the big news coverage. Well, we still have the news coverage on the show. That's why we have our news breaks every 10 minutes or so here in the early morning hours of the show with the Fox News and some of your local news updates. But you know, we kind of walled off for Giving Tuesday. We did a special program showing some extra love to our friends at Warriors in Quiet Waters and just had some incredible guests all morning long. All 4 hours of that radiothon, the Warriors in Quiet Waters radiothon, supporting the Bozeman founded and the Bozeman-based Warriors in Quiet Waters. All 4 audios of our radiothon is now on our Montana Talks app. You can download the podcast of the whole program. Really some incredible guests yesterday on the show. But so we didn't get to kind of the news of the, a lot of the news of the day stuff, some of the crazier stuff in the news like we normally do. But that's why we get a chance to talk about it here today. But this was a story that had we had a little more time, you know, to just talk about the news of the day stuff, I was thinking of mentioning this story. Breitbart News had this headline: media triggered over kid in blackface and native headdress in the stands at a Kansas City Chiefs game. So this kid, what is he like? How old is this kid? Is he like 6 years old? Is he, I don't even know how old this kid is. He's this little kid. And he's got his number 87 Kansas City Chiefs jersey on, and he's got some paint on his face, and he's wearing a native headdress on, like a lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans used to wear. Apparently, they can't wear them inside the Kansas City Chiefs home stadium. But this game was an away game. The Chiefs, I think they were in, Vegas? Yeah, they were in Vegas. Anyway, these yahoos from this liberal media site, they take this screenshot of this kid. Well, let me say, I'm going to save that story for, I don't want to, we got to get to this this serious news here. I'll save that one for the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But anyway, media triggered over kid in blackface and native headdress in the stands at the Kansas City Chiefs game. Just horrible what these liberal media outlets did to this young man. I hope he sues the pants off of him, by the way. But I was going to mention that story yesterday, but actually it's almost even better that we saved the story for today, because Jesse Waters last night had an epic segment on this story, and we've got some of the highlights. So I'll save that for the 7 o'clock hour of the show if we don't get to it here before the end of this 6 o'clock hour program for you. But first, here's some of the devastating news that came in last night regarding our friends at the Stillwater Mine. Stillwater Mine laying off 100 people. Casey Conlon had the report last night for KTVQ television. Most of the layoffs are coming from the Nye Mine operation, and they're saying that they had no other option as palladium prices continue to fall. Vice president for the company, Heather McDowell, says, quote, "This was the last thing we wanted to do, but we just can't make it work any other way. The palladium market is half of what it was a year ago." Now, of course, the Stillwater Mine is North America's only producer of platinum and palladium at its two Montana mines. Palladium prices have fallen 45% since the end of 2022, trading at $1,040 per ounce Tuesday. Palladium has multiple applications, though its primary use is in making catalytic converters for automobiles. Palladium is also found in jewelry, dental fillings, and electric components. Apparently, notices were sent to affected employees around 3 p.m. Tuesday. About half of those let go were still in their probationary period with the company, which is 5 months for hourly employees and 1 year for salaried workers. The layoffs won't technically go into effect until Friday to allow all employees to retain health insurance coverage to the end of the year, but those laid off will not return to work past Wednesday. Casey Conlon also reports that a smaller number of layoffs also hit the East Boulder Mine, the Columbus smelter, the metallurgical complex, and other remote company operations. So, devastating news, for those families, especially as we, you know, December 1st is this Friday. So here we are smack dab in the middle of the holiday season. So anyway, I know our listeners are going to want to going to want to help out if you know, any of these families need anything, if you know, looking for new jobs or whatever. I mean, thankfully, we've got, you know, a relatively strong economy here in Montana compared to the rest of the country. So I know our listeners are going to want to help out. So to any of our friends that work for the mine that are either still working but want to make sure their colleagues are taken care of as well, let us know whatever we can do to help, whether that's getting the word out about something or finding job opportunities or help during the holiday season here, especially. 406-294-0970, the number for you, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. Another big story, I saw Q2 reported this story last night as well. It's a CBS TV station based out of Billings. Thankfully, our friend Michael Foth also has this story for us on our Montana Talks website this morning. This was pretty interesting. Apparently, a new 12-story building is planned for downtown Billings. Now, some of you that are new to Montana might think, 12-story building, okay, cool, no big deal. In Montana, a 12-story building is a pretty big deal. I mean, we're on the 23rd floor here with our Montana Talk studios, but technically it's only 22 floors. They don't have a 13th floor. You know, people who are still little superstitious, they decided not to build a 13th floor. So which I didn't even realize until I'm like on the elevator, and then I'm like, hey, there's no number 13. All right, well, okay, moving along. The Downtown Billings Alliance apparently shared this news regarding the move of the Yesteryears Antique Mall. The massive store at the corner of First Avenue North and 29th Street downtown is moving to the lower level of the former Hart Albin building and will occupy around 20,000 square feet of the former department store, a half block from Sky Point. But the owners of the Antique Mall apparently shared their excitement about the move on their Facebook page. And apparently once the Antique Mall moves out, plans are already in place for a new development to take over the footprint at the busy downtown corner of First Avenue and 29th Street, dubbed Futurity Tower. It will be the first new high-rise to be built in Montana since 1984. Apparently there's already an architectural design rendering that is already now available. This would be a 140-foot tall structure. The plans propose two floors of retail, dining, and commercial space on the lower levels, with housing, one- and two-bedroom units, on the next 10 floors. If built, Futurity Tower would be the fourth tallest building in Montana. Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, so the Doubletree Hotel, the building we're in right now, would be one of them. First Interstate Bank Tower would be another one. What is the one of our listeners probably know this one. I'll bet you we've had a story on our website about this before. What would the next tallest buildings in Montana be? I'll bet you we've got a gallery. I'll bet you I can find this during the break. Or one of our listeners. What are the tallest buildings in Montana? We've got, of course, the two towers I just mentioned. What are the other ones? I wish we had a ticket giveaway or something to give you if you could give us the answer. But I'll bet you once we hit this break, we'll get a message on our Montana Talks app. Somebody will have the answer for us, unless I track it down myself as well here. Another big story we want to get to here this morning. A legislative special session has been proposed to try to once again provide additional tax relief to Montanans. Who knows? Maybe Representative Jerry Schillinger will give us a call again here this morning. Big story that really popped off on Monday. Gave it a little bit of a mention yesterday, but that's another big topic that we could cover in a little bit more depth here this morning. This is the Montana Freedom Caucus that is basically asked for a poll of the legislature to see if they want to have a special session. And so basically how that works is these lawmakers that are now scattered out all across Montana, they will get a poll and they will be able to answer this question as to whether or not they want to have a special session of the legislature. But basically what it sounds like is even after giving over $1 billion in property tax relief and income tax relief and income tax cuts in the last legislative session last spring. And remember, we had tax relief in the session before that as well. What continues to happen? We cut taxes, we get more revenue because it's good for the economy. And what's good for the economy is good for state tax revenue, so that the surplus continues to roll in even after all of these tax cuts, even after all this tax relief, or some of us would say because of that tax relief.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
How long have I been saying America needs to get out of these globalist organizations? The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, they're going to publish their so-called Global Food Systems Roadmap during the upcoming climate summit in Dubai. That's going to kick off, I guess, this Thursday and extend nearly 2 weeks until mid-December. But it's a first-of-its-kind document that's going to recommend that nations that overconsume meat to limit their consumption as part of a broader effort to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Let me just tell everybody, that is my diet. I am a high-protein, keto-friendly eater. If I don't have eggs and I don't have meat, I'm not going to eat.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Treat yourself to a gift that you will use and love every day with brand new custom window treatments from Blinds.com. Save up to 50% off everything during their Cyber Monday sale. Now, Blinds.com, they make it simple and easy to customize beautiful blinds and drapes and shutters. Now, they even have my favorite motorized shades. It's the coolest toy you'll get this year. Shop at Blinds.com for their Cyber Monday sale now and save up to 50% off site-wide, plus big doorbusters, up to 50% off everything at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
December 6th, the final GOP debate of the year is on News Nation, America's fastest growing cable news network. SiriusXM's Megyn Kelly, News Nation's Elizabeth Vargas, and the Washington Free Beacon's Eliana Johnson moderate a live primetime event from the University of Alabama as the candidates make their case to America on the only network for all America. The News Nation Republican primary debate, live December 6th, 8 Eastern. To find News Nation on your TV, go to joinnn.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The property tax is one of the oldest taxes in history. The ancient Egyptians had the tax back in 5000 BC. After all, it survived because it delivers revenue that's stable and predictable. But in Montana, at least, those attributes are a lot less apparent than they used to be. There have been two related trends that have caused an upheaval in public attitudes towards this tax. The first is the stubborn unwillingness of faster-growing communities across Montana to build housing. Taken together with the second trend, the growing attractiveness of our state as a place to live and work, has caused housing prices to skyrocket and residential assessments to explode right along with them. Today, residential property accounts for 75% of the value of all property in Montana. 20 years ago, that fraction was 57%. Changes in prices have made Gallatin County's total property value to grow to become the largest in the state, now $250 million larger than Yellowstone County. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Patient will result in faster outage response times and more ways to save. It's how Northwestern Energy delivers a bright future.
Hey, if you don't have the Montana Talks app on your Montana Talks, download the app.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was hoping you could hear the sarcasm in my voice. I was hoping you could hear the air quotes when I said migrants. Migrants in our national parks. That's why I have repeatedly said illegal aliens. Not even illegal immigrants, illegal aliens in its invasion. Anyway, we got a message from Lightbrows and Harden, one of our great veteran listeners. Don't call them migrants. They are illegal aliens. My wife is a migrant. She came legally. Great message there from Lightbrows and Harden. But yeah, so if I ever say migrants, I always try to have that sarcastic tone in my voice, because it's such a joke that they refer to illegal aliens invading this country as migrants. It's just like calling Hamas terrorists militants. You know what I'm saying? 406-294-0970, the number for you. Let's go to Stephen Ballantyne, I think it is, who's on the phone line. Steve, good to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Where's old Flat Top on this latest thing with the mine, you know? Got on his ad, sticking up for Montanans. Yeah, right. Why don't we take a few of these billions of dollars then, if they're going to shut down the combustion engine industry, why don't we take some of the billions that they're sending over to Ukraine to protect Ukraine's borders and all that? Why don't they bring that money out here to the small town of Columbus, like Biden said a year or two ago, and let's just put up some solar panel factories and put these people back to work?
Well, or, you know, if you are somebody working in at a mine and tragically you lost your job at that mine, where would you likely go looking for work? Another mine, right? But back to your point about Liberal Senator John Tester, I'm sure he'll put out some typical press release. I support the workers, blah, blah, blah. But look, has he called out the liberal Montana Supreme Court, his buddies on the Montana Supreme Court, that just rejected a coal mine permit for a coal mine here in Montana? Of course he won't call out the liberal Montana Supreme Court, because that's his buddies that are doing the dirty work for him. His liberal judges, his liberal buddies on the Montana Supreme Court, shutting down mining, blocking mining operations from coming up, from getting up and running. Now, while he may not control the palladium markets, although you could say that this is a sign of the Biden economy, and concerns over a recession next year. And I mean, look at what's going on in the trucking industry right now. Very serious concerns in the trucking industry. And if trucking is having these problems right now, that gives you an indication of what's going on with our national economy right now. It's an indication of Bidenomics, right? But John Tester, you know, voted against the Keystone Pipeline when it mattered the most. He has constantly shut down these high-wage, blue-collar, natural resource jobs and supports these liberal judges that shut down mining operations.
Well, just like, coal strip, I mean, where is that man? That man, I know where he's at. He's back in Washington, D.C. at a freaking five-star restaurant, racking up $1 million in restaurant bills. You know, why don't he bring some of that money that he's eating back here to Montana now and help these 100 people that just going to get their jobs laid, get laid off?
Yeah, I'll bet he heard the news last night. I got the news last night. Heard from friends that worked there and listeners that sent some emails in and saw the news and I heard about it last night. I'll bet you he heard about it last night. And you raised a good question. Where was he last night when he got the news? Was he sitting at the Bistro B? Was he at the Palm? Was he at some other fancy Washington, D.C. restaurant?
No, he's at his farm.
Sure he is.
Whatever. Yeah. All right, I just had to voice myself, so
hey,
thank you.
I hear you. No, good point. Steve, thanks for calling in. 406-294-0970, the number for you. We've got some open phones time coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Attorney General Austin Knutson is going to join us later on in our statewide 9 o'clock hour also. So always interesting when the AG is in the house. Hey, big thanks to everybody who donated, who contributed, who supported our Warriors in Quiet Waters Radiothon on Tuesday's Montana Talks coming up on Monday. We're back to taking your phone calls and much more. We've got Attorney General Austin Knutson in the house with us for the first half of the program. Then we open up the phone lines to anything and everything you want to talk about. The show is called Montana Talks for a reason, because it's the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. We take it statewide from 9 to 10 every Monday through Friday right here.